Hello and welcome to Gamercast episode 200. OMG, we did 200 episodes. This is the show for the 6th of June, 2010. Yellow, I am your host Paul, and joining me this week is Adam.
Hello there.
And Catherine.
Hi.
So yeah, this is our 200th episode. We've made it to 200, a milestone very few podcasts can claim to get to.
You guys have made it to 200.
I can't believe it's 200 episodes.
Yeah, just think, Adam, when you started doing this podcast, you were 12 years old.
Yes, because we've been doing it like once every god knows how many years. I still remember back when we first started doing this, when I had no job. And I had nothing to do, and I sat at home spending all my time playing World of Warcraft, looking for a job.
To see how that looking for a job in World of Warcraft. Looking for a job.
Yeah, it's like...
Level 7 hunter, looking for a job.
My time was split between surfing the internet, doing my showreel, and playing WoW. And then it got split between doing my showreel, playing WoW, and then doing research for Paul's website. And then he was like, you want to do a podcast? And I was like... Okay, I'll get my mum to drop me off at your house. And for so many episodes, my mum had to drop me off at your house until I got a car. And then I could actually drive to your house to do the show. And then I randomly ended up moving down the street from you.
Which made it quite easy, didn't it?
Yeah, so I could just walk up the street to do the show.
And then about 40 shows ago, I stole Paul.
Yeah, so now we're having to Skype the show. Sarah likes even better because I don't actually walk anywhere. I just go into another room to do the show.
Yeah, I suppose that's cool. I'll tell you what. Why don't we listen to some of our past intros?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are quite funny.
Brotherhood of Nod Disc detected. To play the GDI missions, please insert the GDI disc.
Welcome to Gamercast episode 23, brought to you by Bubbleman's American Training Accent Center.
And for all those who don't understand Americans, this is it translated for you.
Welcome to Gamercast episode 23, brought to you by Bubbleman's American Accent Training Center. No refunds within 30 days, and results may vary. Mild side effects include baldness, vomiting, extreme weight gain, and unusual hand spasms.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
Welcome to episode
23.
Gamercast.
Well, hey
indeed. Completely like that. Can we do that again?
No, we're not doing that again.
Okay.
Sorry.
Alright, dudes. This is Gamercast 20, so you better prick your ears up and listen. Here's your dudes, hosts, Paul and Adam. Enjoy.
Well, hey.
Welcome
to Gamercast.
Dude.
Number 20.
Dude.
This is the 26th of Last Seed, the Festival of the Blades. These are the closing days of the Third Era, and the beginning of GamerCast Episode 19!
Welcome to GamerCast, where the Empire needs you.
This experience revolves around you. Welcome to Gamercast.
Star Wars Episode 4, a new Gamercast.
There's a period of console war. Rebel consoles striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Sony Empire.
During the battle, Xbox spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the PS3 Grill, an armored console with enough power to destroy an entire planet.
Pursued by the Emperor's sinister agents, Prince Alard races home aboard his ship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save his Xbox and restore freedom to the galaxy.
This is the dude here to announce Gamercast episode 15. sponsored by Bob Mann's American Accent Training Center. American accent training for low, low prices. Now over to your hosts, the two dudes, Adam and Paul.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many weird intros we did.
That was dude one.
That's actually, everything played there actually made it into an episode.
I know.
So none of that had been like cut out or anything.
Our
outtakes are way worse. And we're saving those for episode 500.
Oh, I completely forgot about the ones we had Stu on with the American training accent. Was the Star Wars one actually in an episode, or was that GamerCast TV?
It was the intro of episode 4, whenever the Xbox 360 came out.
Right. Because I know we did one episode, which was number 11, which was GamerCast TV?
Number 11 was our video episode, yeah.
Yeah, and was it me or you that was wearing the Darth Vader helmet?
That was you.
There was a bit from that in that little bit, the bit where you actually had the Darth Vader voice. That was from episode 11.
The Star Wars intro bit wasn't.
Was from episode 4, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that one. It was really hard trying to get that. I think that took a couple of takes to read that properly because I kept mucking it up.
Yeah. Because it's quite clever because it is actually written the same way as the episode 4 thing. We just replaced bits here and there.
Yeah, and trying to find all the names and stuff.
This was back when people could be bothered to actually work on the intros instead of the show.
Hey, I do loads of work on the show. Why don't you do work on the intros?
There's no point.
Fine.
I still think the Darth Ura intro with Oblivion was the best one. Because it's really funny how he just says, GamerCast!
I love that bit.
I think it was because we had so much time on our hands before we actually did the show that we just sat there and around before we'd even do it, and then we'd sit there and have nothing to talk about, and we'd sit there and find something to talk about.
Yeah, of course there's other funny bits from episodes, so why don't we just play those now.
Hi, welcome to GamerCast episode 145.
146!
It's 146.
Aye.
This is episode 5 of GamerCast.
25.
Oh yeah, 25.
Hi, welcome to GamerCast episode 121.
It's 122.
Welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 62. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And we're broadcasting live on our regular live Sunday. It is the 9th, I believe.
It's the 11th.
The 11th. Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 131.
133.
Alright. My brain was looking at the one when I said it. What number is this? What number again?
126.
Welcome to GamerCast, 126. Episode
129.
Why didn't you do the American accent?
Hi, I'm Adam.
I'm Chris, or Rudis.
And I'm Paul.
And welcome to GamerCast, episode 27. Yes, I got it right.
Made it. This is episode 5.
No, we're back in time.
Yeah, so that's why Adam stopped doing the intros.
Can you see a theme happening? I forgot how many bloody times I got the numbers wrong.
did you do that, or did Charlotte go through them?
We both did.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of months ago, in preparation, I went through all of our episodes, and I had a bit of help from Charlotte, who did some of the later ones, to find all the episodes you did it wrong. Although, I have to admit, that is not a conclusive search, and I suspect there are still plenty of others out there.
There are more hidden episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's the problem when you're doing this show every single week and I'm coming up doing it and going back again, and I got so stuck. I'm not very good when it comes to numbers. Anyone who knows me well knows that I am completely numerous. I don't even know what you can call it. You know, like when you see someone's illiterate.
You're numer-literate.
Yeah. I have no numerical memory whatsoever. I have to use my fingers to subtract stuff. Sometimes I have to use my fingers to add stuff.
I can see how that would be a problem once you get to episodes greater than 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wicked. Go on.
So, yeah, we're going to have some letters from people later on.
Yep.
And we're going to talk a bit more about the 200 stuff then. But in the meantime, we better get on with the news, I think.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
We'll have more funny stuff later. Although it probably won't be this funny, so you can stop listening if you want.
Don't say that.
Well, you've got to listen for Name That Game, because Name That Game will be really funny. Well, it won't, so. It'll be really interesting to see people's reactions.
now for the news.
So anyway, first off in the news this week, we're going to talk a bit about Tiny Trains.
So Tiny Trains. So like, it's made by the people that made Trains on PC, and they did a few others. There's Turbo Trains coming out on the Wii as well. But okay, so Tiny Trains, which sounds really cool, is a PC train simulator, but it's not a train simulator, it's a model train simulator.
Yeah, so it's like, have you ever wanted your bedroom kitted out with all these, like, you know, train tracks and everything? This is the alternative to, like, trying to get permission from the missus to build a railway around your bedroom.
Yeah, so you can build tracks around bedroom, living room, kitchen, or garage, and you can build over loads of stuff under, around, and through. So, like,
that's cool.
Maybe going downstairs. I'm not sure if that would be in
it. Quite difficult.
That would be quite difficult.
Because the train would just roll down the track and break.
You've got 9 different trains. That is apparently a Flying Scotsman, I am told. So you've got that in it. I don't know what the other 8 trains are. But I think that's really cute.
Yeah, I used to know a kid. Actually, Adam, he used to live down where you live now, just around the corner from you, and he had his bedroom kitted out with train tracks. He had like 3 or 4 deep all along the walls with like a massive control panel to control it all.
Wow.
All I had was a round circular track on a wooden board.
I had less than you. I had a round circular track that had no electricity, and Thomas the Tank Engine had to be wound with a key. And God knows
I had
how many...
that. I had the same one, but then I got an electric one.
Because it wasn't electric, it did mean that I could actually have the track starting without it finishing. So I would try and alternatively have different sides of the circle so it would go in a wiggly line. And the amount of times I'd have Thomas the Tank Engine knock my plastic-molded DeLorean keyring off the end of the stairs, reenacting Back to the Future 3 with it. I knew, wanted a train set for doing that. Never got one. You see why.
Yeah, so this is being released for Windows.
Yeah, coming out 3rd quarter of this year, hopefully.
How much is it going to be? Do we know?
No idea on price yet.
Let's hope it's going to be cheap.
But it should be quite cool because you get to build the tracks yourself, so
yeah,
you could be really fun with it. It's a shame you can't go in the bathroom as well.
Mm. Yep, there's a new edition of Blood Bowl coming out.
That's been coming out for a while, which is the Blood Bowl Legendary Edition.
Yes, apparently it's being legendary.
They've announced another character in it. So, do you play the Blood Bowl games at all, Adam? Because I know you like Warhammer, don't you?
I played it on the DS, and I'm waiting until I go over to my mate Dave's house to have a go on his copy to see what the NFL mode is like.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you get it on, like, a console, PC, you know, that version of it instead of the handheld version, you get the board game mode where it's all played like you would play the actual tabletop game, but they also put the NFL EA's NFL style engine mechanics into the game. So if you're into kind of like American football and you can play that style of game,
nobody's into American football, Adam.
No, I'm not. You could play Blood Bowl at a faster paced game.
Dude, you have to say it right. Blood Bowl. As in Blood Gulch. Like, as in from Red versus Blue, where the medic guy would say, when he was on the phone to, like, head office, he'd say, Blood Gulch.
Blood Gulch. I haven't watched Red versus Blue in absolute ages.
Adam said that in a totally different voice.
But yeah, so the main thing about it is they've announced that the Norse are now in it.
Norseman.
So, like, the picture that they've shown is a Norse guy with, like, of course, long blonde hair with a beard, and he's got a pint of beer or something like that.
Wicked.
Yeah. So they've announced another one of their races.
Yes, there's been a trailer for Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Yeah, so Deus Ex Human Revolution is the third
game.
Yeah, because, of course, yeah, Invisible War was the last one. The third Deus Ex game to come out, which is cool. Of course, it may be different because Square Enix now own Ubisoft.
And
IDOS, sorry, Toe.
Yes, we know what Square Enix did to Supreme Commander.
Yeah.
They fracked it up.
So hopefully this will turn out cool. The trailer looked quite interesting. We put the trailer up on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/gamercast.net. And you can check it out on there. It's very Blade Runner-like. It seems a little odd because, of course, he seems quite invincible in the trailer almost. And, of course, if you're playing a game with someone who seems almost invincible...
It's awesome.
It's not going to play like that.
IDKFA. No, wait. IDDQD.
Have we found out what platforms this is on? Because normally they're on PC, but...
Yeah, I imagine it'll probably be PC, 360, as well. 360 and PS3.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. Okay, guys. Bit of a trivia question here. Mm. IDDQD. What does that do and what game is it from?
Blah, blah, blah.
Doom? I don't know.
Was it
IDDQD. And, well, IDKFA as well.
I don't cheat in games.
This could be a new segment each week. Name that cheat.
Is it Doom?
IDDQD is Wolf, 3D, and Doom. And that gives you God mode. IDKFA is unlimited ammo and all weapons.
I never cheated.
Nah, you suck.
Okay. I remember coming over, if we're going to be nostalgic in this episode, I remember coming over to your house, Paul, while you were playing Morrowind on God mode, seeing how long it would take you to actually kill everybody in Morrowind.
Are you sure I had God mode turned on?
I think you kept putting it on when you got into trouble and then you take it off again, but you were determined that you would try and kill everybody in the game.
From my memory, my giant purge of Morrowind, I just did it normally. I don't think I had any cheats or anything. Was there even any cheats to a Morrowind?
I don't know.
No, there is a God mode. I used to use it all the time.
Oh.
I had the thing about trying to find a vampire because I wanted to be bitten.
Oh, well, I don't know. I remember killing everyone because I started up from...
I think we might have been talking about God mode, but I do remember... It just reminded me of the time when you wanted to try and kill everybody in the bloody game.
In the world.
Yeah, apart from respawnable monsters.
But yeah, so everyone should check out the Deus Ex trailer. It looks interesting. So it's your normal kind of cybernetics, augmentation kind of stuff.
Yep. Bit of news from Rising Star Games.
Yeah.
In that they have some release schedules.
Yeah, so they've announced their autumn release schedule. One of these games was actually on their previous release schedule for the start of the year, which I'm really interested in, but it never came out in the end, obviously for a few different reasons.
Because it's not finished.
But so they've announced they're releasing Pang, which is called Magical Michael, as in the original kind of Pang.
That's a DS game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on DS. Rune Factory 2.
That's a DS game
as well.
A Fantasy
Harvest Moon, which is a second Rune Factory game. My World, My Way.
That's a DS game, isn't
it? Yes, it is a DS game, which is the one I'm most looking forward to, because it's like this girl, and she's adamant that everything should be her way.
Is this Nintendo DS cast, by any chance?
No. I'm only going to talk about this one mainly, because, well, Rune Factory is always cool, because it's got the farming of Harvest Moon and the combat of Rune Factory. Pang, I don't really know much about, other than that it's using the original kind of Pang from the arcades. But My World, My Way, as I was saying before. So she's really adamant that she can change everything. So you're allowed to change the landscape and skip quests that you don't like, and everyone kind of follows your rules. And this is like an RPG on the DS. And I'm like looking forward to it. So I thought it sounded kind of cool. And I was looking forward to it. And then I realised it like a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, they never released that. But now it's hopefully coming out at the end of this year. And then also they've got Elder Saga, which is
What's
an RPG.
That? Is it DS?
No, it's Wii.
Oh, a bit of a change.
And it's set to feature online cooperative play via the Nintendo online service.
Okay, that's fun.
But yeah, so Rising Star have announced those four to hopefully come out by the end of the year, and they're going to release more info around the time of E3 as well. Okay, so next up, Lego Harry Potter.
Yes. Wait a minute. Is this the one you're working on?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so Traveller's Tales, of course, make the Lego Harry Potter
games. Isn't that EA?
Shush!
Oh, before anyone thinks I'm a retard, this is what someone asked her the other day.
Yeah.
I'm not that retarded.
So Traveller's Tales have been making it for a while, I'm sure, but Lego Harry Potter years 1 to 4, so that's from the start until Goblet of Fire. They've announced that there's going to be a demo release on the 7th of June, which is tomorrow, for Xbox 360. There'll also be a PS3 and Windows version, but that's coming out late June, so if you want to play it, there's going to be a 360 demo first. The game officially comes out 25th of June as well.
Hang on a minute. 25th of June, that's not a Friday. Are we sure it's not the 21st?
That's straight from a press release.
Oh, the 21st is a Monday. Oh, yeah, it must be the 25th then. Okay. Our release schedule at work must be wrong.
Oh. But yeah, so you could check out a demo from tomorrow if you want to check it out.
I like the sound of Harry Potter with Lego system because Star Wars was great because you want to play as all the characters, but when I played Indiana Jones, I was like, I just want to play as Indy. I don't like playing as anybody else.
Well, that's the thing. Harry Potter and Star Wars is good for multiplayer because you've got a group of characters who went round together. Batman and Indiana Jones, you didn't really have that same effect.
Well, Batman didn't really... You don't count Robin, because
Robin
sucks.
Batman is just, like, by himself. Robin is gay, and Indiana Jones has that stupid kid who follows him around.
And the woman.
Or that stupid woman.
Yeah.
They were always getting in the way.
Yeah.
But then that was the character.
So this, you know, will probably work a bit better. What I would like to see, this is someone's idea, who I overheard today, was a Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Maybe they're doing that next.
And they'll have it on a ship made out of Lego, and you can take the bricks out to make the ship sink. No? Okay, then. I thought it was a good idea.
That is, but you don't usually pick up the Lego.
Yeah, but you have bits where you can move around, and you could flood the lower deck if you don't like the people down there.
The only thing is, though, so the bits in the Lego games where you get to move the piece of Lego around, in my eyes, that only really fit in Lego Star Wars because of the Force.
Yeah,
because in Lego Indiana Jones, it's a bit stupid looking because you've got him like quickly moving all these bricks around.
Yeah, he should get his whip to whip the Lego into place.
Get a whip.
And Batman should start shooting things with all his ninja stars and things and all the other things.
A while ago, didn't we talk about the problems with Traveller's Tales wanted to do a Marvel one, and they nearly got through with it, but Marvel ended up being taken up with Mega Bloks.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, Marvel have got the rights on Mega Bloks, which means that no Lego game can be made with Marvel characters. But I was just thinking on the side of that, the latest thing to be made for Lego is Toy Story. So I must admit, a Lego Toy Story game by Traveller's Tales I think would be quite cool.
Would it?
Would that work?
Could you beat up the stupid kid?
Well, all the characters in the things are proper Lego characters, I was very tempted to actually pick up the army men because they are just normal Lego men, but they're dressed up like all the plastic green army men. So the idea of being able to play as some of those characters, maybe some of them will be a different shape to a normal character because I think some of them are made out of Lego instead of being Lego men.
What I think would work better on the Toy Story idea is just Pixar. Lego Pixar. Could just do all the films.
Yeah, actually that would be quite cool. Lego Pixar.
But then there's less room for follow-ups.
Lego Pixar 1. Lego Pixar 2.
You know
what
I mean.
So just like how they're doing Harry Potter years 1 to 4. And then they'll do 4 to 7.
Yeah. Lego Pixar 1980 to 1984. Lego Pixar 1985 to 1990. And gradually they get more and more films.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about Super Mario Galaxy 2, because this is coming out soon.
It's coming out Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
So,
I know these things.
Yeah, you do, of course you do. So, to go with the release of the game, the game store in Oxford Street, London. Are doing a midnight launch for Super Mario Galaxy 2. As always, because they've done it for Super Mario Galaxy as well, they've got Charles Martinet going in, who is the voice of Mario.
For clarification, the Aldershot store is not doing a midnight launch.
Yes. Well, no, there's a select few stores that are actually doing them, but London is the only one with Charles Martinet going.
What? So, they don't have him cloned to all the other stores at the same time?
No, they don't, strangely. So, on Thursday the 10th, which is, of course, the day before Friday, fans are invited to come. I'd recommend... Well, they say it starts at 11 p.m. until 1 a.m, but I'd say just arrive some point around... just before midnight. If you want...
Arrive about Saturday and just buy the game.
Yeah, or you could just buy it like a normal person.
It's only Super
the
Mario.
The first 50 people that attend dressed up as Mario... Just Mario, though. I think that's a bit narrow. To Mario characters.
What if you're a lady?
Yeah.
You know, a lady doesn't wear trousers. She wears a skirt. So why can't she be Princess Pooch or whatever her name is?
Or Daisy, yeah. So the first people dressed up as Mario...
Or Luigi, he's a girl, isn't he?
Super Mario Galaxy 2 goodie bag, which is apparently filled to the brim with exciting Mario treats.
I'm sure it is.
Well, I went to the Mario Galaxy launch in Cardiff, And I got a free bag of stuff, which is quite nice. It was.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Then they have Charles Martinet. He's signing copies of the game. Yeah, so head down if you want to. I'd say probably only if you live in London, because trains kind of stop around midnight, so you wouldn't be able to get home otherwise. So like Charlotte was looking about going into it. But it's like, well, she'd have work the next morning.
And do we really want to pay for a hotel? No.
No. But yeah, they're also doing midnight launches in Leeds, Birmingham, Glasgow and Dublin. I'm not sure why they're not doing one in Cardiff this time around. Maybe because they just don't want to.
It's Cardiff.
And yeah, so you can go there. They're also having, I think they're doing midnight launches there. That might not actually be. I might be lying. But they're also going to have pods, so you can play it.
Oh, fun. Let's talk about the new game from Creative Assembly.
Yes.
So, you know, their last game was Napoleon Total War, which was really just an expansion pack to Empire, in my opinion. Because, let's face it, it was the Empire Engine campaign map, everything else. It's just like a Napoleon version. Yeah. If it was released 10 years ago, it would have been an expansion. It's just a standalone expansion. They've announced their new game. Rather than being set a little later and maybe doing First World War, which I said they'd have difficulty with,
yeah,
because of the range of the units, they're going to do another Shogun game. So I have to say,
Shogun 2 Total War.
As opposed to Shogun 1.
I like the idea of it, because my dad likes these games, and the only one he's got is the all of the Roman ones and Shogun, because they're the only periods that he has a particular interest in. But obviously, if you look at like the Napoleon game, mechanics and graphics back to the first Shogun, there's a large jump.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea of going back and saying, right, let's shove some of this graphic and technology and game mechanics into one of our older games and actually beef it up a bit, I think it's quite a good idea. I know my dad would probably go out and buy this quite happily.
Yeah, I'm not buying it because it's Shogun and it's boring.
It's set 10 years after the original title in Japan, of course. So it's now in the middle of the 16th century in feudal Japan.
Yes, state-of-the-art country. You know, yeah, great. They should get the medieval dudes to fight the Shogun dudes. There's like some accident and they meet up and they have a big fight.
So you definitely would buy it if it was like Shogun, but it was in the year 2210 and they've all got Japanese mech bots.
No, that would just be Command and Conquer, Red Alert 3 and shit. Let's talk a bit about Rare, shall we? Because Rare is 25 years old.
Yeah, they're 25 years old and they're changing their logo. Have you
I like the
this?
Logo they've got, because in the Conquer Bad Fur Day thing, they made their logo out of like a bog roll.
Search for
what are you doing on my
search
computer?
Search for Rare logo.
On what?
On a search engine or something, because that wants you to log in.
Stupid
yeah,
games
so
press.
They've changed it, and it looks really crap. If you ask me, that's it.
Less similar to the old one. It's still got the little bog.
Yeah, it's still got the little R, but I like their old logo. I've been used to that for like, well, if they're 25 years old, because of course they started making stuff years before Nintendo's consoles.
What does it look like? Because I'm having to search for it now.
It's on Wikipedia. I searched on Bing and it came right up.
Yeah, but I just don't like it. I'm so used to their nice yellow Rare logo. And I'm used to their.
Most importantly, it's still got the bog roll.
There's more than one of it though.
Bog roll.
Now you've said that, like I can see it.
See,
four.
It's a bog roll, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is. They've done a few, though. So there's more than just the one. That's... it bog does... Roll. Oh, my God.
Well, in the Conquer Bad Fur Day intro, that's how it happened. He was in the toilet, and he went to the bog roll, and it turned to a Rare logo. And ever since I've seen that, bog roll.
I never... Okay.
Now, both of you are only ever going to see a bog
as,
roll.
I used to see it as an R, but now it just looks like toilet roll. But yeah, so after 25 years, Rare have decided to change their logo. I'm not sure what other people think about it. If you've seen it and you're not well, if you want to give us your comments, feel free to. They're doing it because they want to do a rebranding, relaunch kind of thing. So I'm guessing with whatever it is that they're making at the moment, like Natal stuff, I'd imagine.
Make another Conker's Bad Fur Day. Just do a complete remake of it again.
As well as a few other titles they're probably making, because I doubt they'll just be making one.
Is it the one that's in a shape? Rare written next to it in grey writing?
Yeah. So that's but there's more than one of it as well.
Yeah, I've seen one that's in a green pentagon, and I've seen one that's in a orange square on its side, like a diamond.
Yeah, so they've got a couple of different ones, and they just want to... They're doing like a website relaunch as well, and all this other stuff. I'm not sure if their change on the logo means that their games are going to get really good or not. I don't know.
I don't think changing the logo would really affect their games.
Well, no, because someone made a decision to change that. So that might mean that
someone just came along and randomly did it.
Yeah, I know where you're going with it, in the sense of, if the logo's changing, does it mean
someone, like a key person has changed or something like that?
Yeah, the internal policies, direction, anything like that, is that all changing as well?
But I've been a bit disappointed in Rare over the past few years, so hopefully they'll change a bit.
Yeah,
I always
agree.
Used to love Rare on the N64.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about the new Harry Potter game, not the Lego one.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
This is the game which is a Gears of War-style Harry Potter game.
Yes, it's a third-person shooter with wands, pretty much.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool in that it's not going to be a rubbish Harry Potter game, and it's going to be a third-person shooter.
So, the Deathly Hallows, for people that haven't read the book.
Haven't read the book, so I don't care, to be honest.
I read a bit of the book. So, in all the previous Harry Potter books and games and films, you've been stuck inside Hogwarts. In this one, you're not in Hogwarts anymore. Everything's been taken over, and, like, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and a lot of the other students from Hogwarts, I think, are like trying to escape from Voldemort and all the bad Death Eaters and stuff like that.
Alright.
Yeah.
But more importantly, is it any good?
Of course it's good.
Okay, can we have an independent opinion, please?
It's good.
Let's have my opinion, shall we? Interesting they're trying something different, because obviously the whole theme of the book and the film is a lot darker than the previous ones.
Yes.
So it's nice to have a shooter which is third person, a.k.a. Gears of War, Harry Potter. All they had to do was license Gears of War and replace Marcus Fenix with Harry Potter, and it would be brilliant.
The spells are quite cool.
You don't need spells. You can have Harry Potter with one of the guns with a chainsaw
spells.
On.
So you've got one that's like the equivalent of a rocket launcher, or one that's the equivalent of, in a way, a sniper rifle. Excuse me, sorry. Except it's got a spell on it that confuses the enemy and it makes them hurt other people.
Is there going to be a demo anytime soon?
I have no idea.
I think this is an interesting choice of direction, considering the fact you're going to lose some fans with this style of game, but you're also going to grab hold of people who like Harry Potter, but were like, I ain't playing a Harry Potter game.
But the thing is, the people who liked Harry Potter are people who 5 years ago were like 10 years old.
Yeah, so like people that grew up playing the games are now playing Call of Duty.
And it's still only going to be rated like a 12 or something, isn't it? So it's not like it's going to be an 18 with blood and gore everywhere.
And it's not going to be that majorly hard, I suppose. I mean, interesting way of being able to allow someone to be a bit more in control of the magic and making it a bit more closer to
it's making it more action-oriented.
Any word on move or natal support?
No.
You just want to do your magic spells, don't you, Paul, and wave your hand in front of the screen?
Well, what's the point in having
Paul
a Harry...
Paul wants to be Harry Potter!
I want to be the ginger kid!
Okay, so one thing that I have noticed that the internet is kind of moaning about with it, or at least this is actually Harry Potter fans that are moaning about it. So it's set
Harry
to
Potter
come out...
Harry Potter fans are a bunch of stupid kids.
...this autumn in, conjunction with the film.
Yeah, I'm so shocked.
And so it's coming out on 360, PlayStation 3, Nintendo Wii, Nintendo DS, Windows, and mobile devices. So a lot of Harry Potter fans, obviously because they're not the biggest of gamers, are moaning that they're not going to be able to play on their PS2s.
In your face, suckers. Just buy a flippin' Xbox. They're like £100.
It's not like it cost them much. But generally, yeah.
Just trade in your PS2. I'm sure you could get a couple of quid for it somewhere.
It's bound to happen. Eventually they will stop making games for old consoles.
They have.
We don't even stock a new PS2. We've not stocked new PS2 for years.
Because even if they made a PS2 version, no shops would buy it in. They'd just be stuck with lots of stock.
Apart from a few key games, because I have a PlayStation 3 that isn't backwards compatible, the only other thing I can think of using a PlayStation 2 for is what I used the PlayStation 2 for in that episode of Gamercast.
Smash it.
That was so sticky.
Now, proving that we do care about your opinions, your letters.
We'll follow shortly after this disclaimer. Gamercast does not endorse any opinions and or views expressed in any of the letters we receive. All letters are presented as is and confers no warranty or rights. Alrighty, so in celebration of our 200th 100th episode, we've had a few audio clips sent in.
Hey, this is Quack from Portal Forums, and from Canada, or in Canada, whatever. You may remember me as the guy who sent GamerCast a letter, last week actually, asking the question, Green Day Rock Band? Yeah, that's the whole question. I didn't get a very satisfying response, so F you, GamerCast. I'm giving you the finger right now, too, but you can't see. Anyways, GamerCast is really cool. You guys and your prestigious British opinions are cool. Paul is cool. And so are you other people, Catherine and Adam, I think. So you viewers out there, or listeners, whatever, you should subscribe to GamerCast right now, because honestly, the real reason is Name That Game. That thing is really cool, like that segment or whatever. So yeah, subscribe, do it. All right, Quack out.
Yeah, so that's from Joel, aka Quack.
This is quite cool.
It
shows I haven't been on the show a lot, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll just quickly follow up about what he said about Green Day Rock Band. They're going to do it based on American Idiot.
I've got lots of stuff about it in their new releases because it's coming out this week.
Okay, so we're going to talk about it a bit later on then.
Yeah.
Did he just say F you, GamerCast?
He did.
Screw
He's
you.
Sticking the finger to us.
That's really rude.
Yeah. You're so banned from the forums for that.
Yeah, I can't say much else.
The ban hammer is coming your way.
How about the Hello Kitty avatar?
Yeah, let's give him a Hello Kitty avatar for a bit.
I think you should do that.
All right, let's play the second letter.
Hello, GamerCast. My name's Gary. I am a game designer from Guildford, and I'm just popping in to say congratulations on your 200th episode. I've really enjoyed listening to the last few, except when Paul was negative and said bad things about Dead Space. I mean, come on, Dead Space is amazing, and comparing it to Doom 3, that's just insanity. You've got to look inside yourself, and as someone once said, positate the negatives. So yes, I hope you record many, many more in the future, and I look forward to hearing what you come up with. Take care, everyone. Bye!
Right, yes, you're quite right in saying that Dead Space and Doom 3 cannot be compared, because Doom 3 is a good game.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He should know better to start comparing games against Doom 3 when it comes to Paul.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, this is a letter from some guy called...
Oh, you've sent it as a WMA.
Yeah, can you not play that?
No, because I'm on a Mac.
Well, that's what I had it as.
I'm preparing myself for the abuse.
We got sent it as a WMA, so...
Can't you play it, Adam?
No, I haven't got it.
Oh, well.
Hi to you all at GamerCast, this is Steve. Congratulations on your 200th episode this week. I saw the post on the GamerCast website asking what we thought were your best moments. Although I've only been listening for the last few months, I've become addicted to Name That Game, I have to say. Also, I love the way that Paul obsesses over StarCraft. Yeah, but it's not StarCraft 2, is it? A legend. Oh, by the way, Paul, I agree with you 100% about MCM. Love the videos on the site. It is all very mental, way too hot, with far too many people in one place. Now, I've got a couple of questions for you guys. Firstly, what in your opinion has been your best moments over the last 199 episodes? Secondly, if each of you had to spend 2 years on a desert island with a TV and a video game console that could play any game ever made, and a long extension lead providing power to plug the TV and console into, obviously, what 5 games would you take with you to keep you entertained? And just to make things clear, you don't have no online access, so no MMO style games would work either. Well guys, keep up the good work, and here's to the next great milestone, the 500th episode. Thanks for keeping me entertained for an hour or so each week. Take care, cheers.
Alright, just for Adam's benefit, who couldn't listen to that, because he's on a crapintosh, he asked us a couple of questions. He wanted to know what our best moment was for the last 199 episodes. And he also wanted to know what 5 games we'd take with us to a desert island with no internet access.
And it doesn't matter on the console, does it? Because he said a console that could play any game.
So yeah, let me just start and say...
Can I say my favourite bit?
Can I do my first... The one thing I remember is episode 19, the Oblivion one, but also episode 50, which is the first time Catherine was on, and she was really quiet.
Aww. Can I do mine?
No.
Oh, I do mine. Okay, so mine isn't actually an audio one. My favourite thing was your video one. What episode was that?
11.
11. Yeah. That was my favourite episode. In terms of Adam's weird little advert thing for it was really funny, where he was
flicking the channels
trying to
on the
turn
TV
over when it was GamerCast on the TV. And then just because you guys smashed up a PS2.
Yeah. Adam, what'd you think?
I would say yeah, because I would agree with Catherine there, because number 11, it was just the whole... I don't know, it was just weird to be able to record the show and actually have a camera pointed at my face, sat there holding a lightsaber, trying to read the show notes off your tablet. It was a weird thing to do. But yeah, I don't know, there's a lot of favourite moments I've liked when we've done this show. But like the title of the show says, 200, that has been a lot. They all kind of blend into one, some of them. Like when we played these bits at the beginning, some of them I can barely remember us doing it.
I must agree, though. I do agree with... did I say I must admit or I must agree?
Whatever.
I agree with Paul, because I did like the Oblivion intro. Because that's one of the best intros ever.
I think I would say Oblivion and when we got up to Xbox were some of the best moments, because both me and Paul were absolutely psyched about some of the info we were actually talking about.
Dude, and Oblivion made me thousands of pounds. I like that game.
Yeah. You know, when Oblivion were coming out, literally the next bit of great news that came out, we were dying to get on the online and tell people about it. And it was exactly the same when Xbox came out, because it was like the next biggest thing in the generation of games consoles.
Xbox came out before Oblivion.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, the two of them. Between the two bits of retail coming out, I just like those moments, because we were so hyped for these things coming out, we were so wanting to get online and actually do the show about those particular things.
Yeah, I suppose the Xbox 360 had a lot to do with us starting the show.
Should I ask the video game thing?
Yeah, I'll just do mine really quickly.
Okay, you can do yours quick.
I take Morrowind, Oblivion, Elite, Quake 3, and one other
Starcraft?
Game. I'm not sure. I think I'll take Supreme Commander.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got, like, Shenmue, Jet Set Radio, a Ratchet and Clank game. I'd probably say Future Tools of Destruction. I've got two more. What the hell else? Cooler World and Tombi. Oh, but I'd like a Tomb Raider game.
I might like to take Freelancer and maybe X3 with me as well.
I'd say I would
and
love
SimCity 4.
Legend, Tomb Raider Legend, or Tomb Raider Legend.
And maybe even The Sims 3.
You can muck about on that for ages, can't you?
Yeah.
How about we just take a whole box full of games?
Yeah, well, that's giving you an idea of what sort of stuff I take.
Wanna...
I mean, I'd like to take Wolf 3D and the Doom games as well, but I don't have that much space.
I straight away, I'm thinking of stuff that lasts. So I'm thinking of RTS, because I get myself lost into just a battle. I definitely take Little Big Planet, because you can do whatever you want. I agree with Sims. Boy. Sims, just being able to just play something over and over again.
What, the original?
No, something that actually works. So I would say as latest as possible, because you know it's going to actually do what it says on the box. I think something kind of Grand Theft Auto or Assassin's Creed, where there is story to
I'd
play.
I'd say, yeah, I'd kind of be tempted with Red Dead Redemption at the moment.
I'd be tempted with GTA, but only if I could turn the police off.
Oh, yeah. And so you could just kill people.
And increase the population of the city so that like there's thousands of people on the streets. Because that would be cool.
Yeah, some open sandbox world game would have to be there, just for the fact you've got story, but you can do what the hell you want while you're waiting for your mind to forget how the game played, so you can start from the beginning again.
How many have you said now? Is that?
I think we've done enough, haven't we?
Three.
Yeah, I think you said the types of games you would want to pick from for your five if you knew that you were going to be on a desert island for a while, because you wouldn't want something that is like you get to the end and you probably play it three times and then go, this was a bad choice.
Well, the good thing with some games is like you, when they've got scoring systems or time attack or stuff like that, then you can just keep trying to beat your own score.
Yeah.
But then actually, did any of us say any two-player games? Little Big Planet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got your RTSs.
Yeah.
Because if I was stuck with you...
You would have to play RTSs with me.
I'd have to play against you. I'll play with you.
Oh, you're such a baby. Just play against me. You're going to lose, sure, but... Everyone loses against me. That's why I'm ranked 54th platinum on StarCraft 2.
The only great thing I like about playing against Paul with StarCraft 2 is I know that there isn't going to be a base with a big effing gun outside my base, like he always does on Supreme Commander. I've got to the point now, whenever I play Supreme Commander, I don't care what his base is doing. I'm hunting around my base looking for that gun turret that he's building that's just in range of everything I own. And he's hiding it, and he's waiting until that moment that I send my entire army to its death door like a lamb to the slaughter, and he lets me straight into his base, and then boom, boom, and my base is completely flattened. And then the big army that was hidden comes out of his base and just goes squish on my
little arm. I know, Supreme Commander is brilliant, isn't it?
And that took an hour for that to ever happen. And by that point, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that again.
Hey, Adam, we can play Supreme Commander later if you want. We might even be able to play on my dad. Because I played with my dad the last couple of days. But he hasn't figured out how to upgrade his factories again. And I've been trying to explain it to him. So he's attacking me. He's attacking me with like all these tech one units. And it's like, this really isn't fun.
And he kept building engineers last night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he thought that's what you said.
Well, I said to him, the upgrade button is left of the engineer button. So I go down. We have the fog of war off when he plays because he doesn't understand what it is. So we have it off. So I just see what he's doing in his base. And he's just building like dozens of engineers. So anyway, let's move on to our next letter. This one's from Charlotte. Hopefully Adam can play this.
Yeah.
Hi guys, it's Charlotte here. Congratulations on hitting 200 episodes of GamerCast. As everyone knows, I listen to it every week. So I thought I should send a comment in to say how much I appreciate it. Hopefully there'll be another 200 more. And hope that everyone else checks out the website as well to read all the articles that I find the time to write. Also, I hope that Adam's on the show this week. Otherwise, he's in trouble. Love the show. Bye.
She sounded right. A bit too American there.
Yeah, I don't know what Charlotte was going for with that.
Don't worry, I always sound American. I had to explain to the post room at work that they were actually found out they were taking bets on where I came from, and one of them was betting that I came from Scotland, and the other one thought that I came from somewhere in Canada. I was so tempted to play with them, but I ended up having to, convince them. You know, I'm Yeovil born and bred. But,
yeah, you sound like it.
That was really creepy. Charlotte sounded really American.
Yeah. Anyway, let's play our last letter. This one.
At least I'm not in trouble.
This one was from some guy called Scene. Or Sean, sure. I'm not sure.
Hey GamerCast, it's Sean from Sean Hunter Snowboarding Family. Good going on the 200th episode, here's to 200 more.
What did he say?
Sean from Sean Hunter's Snowboarding, or Skateboarding, whatever. Because whenever we talk about Sean White, I say Sean Hunter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the guy.
Okay.
So yeah, we've also got one more letter, but unfortunately, I will have to read this one out. Because some guy called Timothy was unable to record it because his headset wouldn't work. He says, "Hey GamerCast, happy 200th. Sorry I didn't send an audio message in. I couldn't get my headset to work." Reiterating what I just said.
Yeah.
"So I had no microphone. Ask Charlotte. She saw me trying to mess with it. Sorry, Charlotte, for getting in a mood about it. Hopefully you'll manage at least another 200 episodes. Funny face. And maybe I can keep doing stuff for them. Tim, P.S. Do you know Mad Max?"
I have a question. Where will we be in 200 episodes?
Well, if it takes
400.
If it takes another 5 years almost.
Four and a half.
Has it been 4.5 years to get 200 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
We would be up to like 240.
I'll be almost 30 then.
Lal, 30-year-old Catherine.
Well, I won't be 30.
Hear 30's not that bad.
Speaking of Adam, who's 30 this year.
Yeah. It's not going to be that bad.
So anyway, thanks Quack, Gary, Steve, Charlotte, Sean, Tim for your letters.
Didn't Charlotte send us a written letter as well?
Yeah, but it's pretty much what she said, wasn't it?
What she said about Quack.
Okay. She sent a written one as well. She said, in regards to naming that game, which we'll wait until we name that game itself, she just says, "Sorry, I didn't send a letter last week." So, no, not
and
really.
She was talking about Green Day Rock Band for Quack, but we're going
to
mention
we'll
that
talk
anyway.
About that later. So anyway, let's move on to the most important segment of the show.
It's time for
Name
That
Game.
Alright, so last week everyone would have heard this. Catherine did not guess anything because she has retracted her guess.
Yeah, after remembering what was said on the show.
Yeah, because I did say it was multi-platform. Adam wasn't here, so he just guessed Harvest Moon.
Yep.
Or I guessed on his behalf. Oh, hi, Adam. the answer was actually StarCraft 2 again.
What?
In your face, suckers.
He's getting crafty with them, aren't he?
Once again, though, it's games that aren't out.
It's games that we have, though. That music plays in the game we have now.
When's it play?
Main menu.
What?
The main menu is like the main menu music goes on for like 20 minutes. There's so many good things in there. So yeah.
It was Catherine's, a nice piece of music.
Catherine's a bit upset about that, I think.
Wait, you said it was multi-format?
Yeah. Windows and Macintosh.
Oh, I knew it was gonna be that, because I said to you the other night, I was like, you said it was multi-format, and I was like saying, I don't know, I said something about PC and Mac, and you were like, I don't know.
Alright, this week, if Adam is ready.
I'm ready.
Any guesses? Well, actually, first of all, I'll just say a little comment. This game is also somehow very specially related to GamerCast in some way. So you get a bonus point if you can guess what the relationship is.
The thing is, though, it's annoying because I know that the music is not necessarily connected to this game because it's a proper piece of music that's used in it. But I remember... Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, that's annoying. I remember playing a game that's got this music in it.
Wow. Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah.
Any guesses, Catherine? She's just sort of staring there blankly.
I don't know what it is.
All right, Catherine doesn't know what it is. Adam, any guesses?
Any clues?
Clues, it's somehow related to GamerCast.
Is that the only clue?
Yeah. In that it might have been on an episode or, you know, something like that. Something related to GamerCast.
No other clues.
It's not a racing game, is it?
No comment. It could be, it might not be.
I got a feeling it's a racing game for some stupid reason.
Maybe it's a car driving in the background on it. Maybe that is what it is.
It's hitting a nerve. You know, like when you can't remember anything, but it's hitting something in your brain and you're like, oh my god, yes.
Okay, Adam, ten seconds, Adam. Come on, let's get moving on.
I'm drawing a complete blank. That's annoying. I can't wait till next week.
Is it like a Burnout game? Can I guess a Burnout game?
So Catherine just guesses Burnout?
Yeah.
Although, no specific game.
Not original Burnout. Burnout series.
Adam, do you want to guess Burnout as well?
Hang on, I'm just listening to it again.
Hey, you're cheating.
Hey, that is cheating. I don't get to listen to it again.
No, that's not helping me. It's making it worse. No, I haven't even got a comment. I just think it's some sort of racing game, to be honest. But
Adam, some sort of racing game.
Yeah.
So far,
it's in the opening sequence. It's in the opening sequence. I know it is.
Complete blank. That's annoying. Some sort of racing game. That's Adam's guess at the moment.
Instead of actually doing what I normally do, where it just says Adam, no idea, I've actually quoted Adam. Complete blank. That's annoying.
Is this because we're going to kick ourselves?
Some sort of racing game. No, not necessarily. I think Adam would kick himself. But I think people would be surprised to know what the relationship is with GamerCast.
I have no idea.
I'll give you a clue. It's not Supreme Commander.
Wow.
All right, so yeah, if you've got a guess and think you know what the relationship is between that game or that series of games and GamerCast, feedback at GamerCast.net. And if you win, you will get GZ on the show next week. Nobody got any GZs because Catherine guessed for last week nothing. Adam wasn't here and Charlotte guessed Hitman or something. So
yeah, she said Hitman Blood Money.
Yeah.
Or Mass Effect. No idea.
Okay, anyway.
Those games have got good music.
New releases this week.
Yeah, okay, so first up is some little game called Beat City coming out on the DS, which is some kind of rhythm action tapping thing on the DS. I tried to find a video somewhere to see what the gameplay was like, because it sounded kind of cute, but I couldn't find anything anywhere. But yeah, so it's a DS exclusive title. I think actually it's coming out really cheap as well, so like 20 quid or something like that.
Yeah, big one this week, Super Mario Galaxy 2 as well.
Yeah, so sequel to the original. The first, well, they're claiming it's the first real sequel for a Mario title. Because it kind of is.
Yeah, because other Mario titles haven't really followed on from each other.
Well, no, they're always totally different to each other. But yeah, so you get new power-ups, new Mario suits. You got Yoshi as well in there. And it's like Super Mario Galaxy, just number 2. But yeah, that should be cool. We're going to pick it up. I'm not sure if on release or not. I still haven't finished the first one.
Why have we got Prince of Persia down here?
It's coming out on PC this week.
Oh, PC version this week. Okay.
So Prince of Persia Forgotten Sands is coming out. It's not on there. Prince of Persia Forgotten Sands is coming out on PC this week. So it'll just be the same version as the 360 version, but with their DRM system.
Yeah, Ubisoft's DRM.
Yeah.
Which means you need internet access to play the game.
Yeah, so if anyone's thinking of buying it, you need the internet. But then, if you listen to the show, you should kind of have the internet.
What if they only have internet temporarily?
Then they're kind of screwed if they want to play Prince of Persia.
Exactly. Another big one this week, Green Day Rock Band.
Yes. So we've got like a list of what's in it. So they've got songs.
We're not going to read off
all
that.
I'm not going to read off all the things. So it's got, you can actually have 3 singers in it. So kind of like how they did the Beatles Rock Band. So they allow you to have microphones as well as the thing, the instruments, which is quite cool. It works with all Rock Band and Guitar Hero instruments, of course. So it's got songs from Dookie in it, American Idiot, Warning. It's only got 3 from Nimrod, which is crap, because I like that. It's one of their best albums, if you ask me. And 3 of the songs from Insomniac. And then they've got from 21st Century Breakdown, which is their newest album, they got like loads of
10.
And just like how they've got loads. Oh, they got loads from Dookie though, because a lot of people like Dookie. And they're doing downloadable content just like they did with the Beatles one. So there'll be 2, 4, 6 songs that you can only get through DLC and have to pay for after buying the game.
Yeah, I hate it when, because you know that's just cut out just for DLC purposes.
Yeah. And they've only got 2 songs from Warning as well. Like, my 2 favourite albums are Green Day's, and they've got, like, no songs from it.
That's because you're not one of the new, cool, hip kids.
I don't like American Idiot. I didn't like it at all.
I like all the old stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with. Listening to that one, going snowboarding.
I never listened to it.
Okay, so yeah. Green Day Rock Band, that's coming out on PS3 360. Is it coming out on Wii?
Don't know, don't care.
I'm not sure if it's coming out on Wii as well.
Assassin's Creed 2.
Complete Edition, aka
Game of the Year Edition. Not that it won a Game of the Year anywhere, of course.
So that's coming with the Battle of Forli, if that's how you say it, the Bonfire of the Vanities, and 3 Templar secret location thingy-majiggies.
Ooh, la-di-da. So everyone's going to rush out and
buy
that,
aren't
they?
Anyone hasn't picked it up yet, then you can pick it up with all the DLC.
Yeah, there's also Naval Assault, The Killing Tide coming out.
Yeah.
I take it this is a PC game.
No, it's a 360 title.
This is a 360
title. Only 360.
But it's really queer.
Yeah.
It's got realistic World War II submarines and stuff.
Apparently.
What type of game is it?
It's a shoot-em-up-y job apparently. Or something.
The picture of it had like a submarine on the front and a naval ship and some other stuff. It looked realistic kind of imagery. And it's like, this doesn't sound like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I'd put it on there.
All right, that's cool.
So that's coming out for anyone who wants to have engaging combat in the ocean. In World War II.
Silent Hunter, I think, is still where it is, even though the last one is wobbly.
Well, considering this is a shoot-em-up style.
Yeah, game. You don't shoot-em-up with submarines, that's ridiculous.
Well, you don't generally get shmups as, like...
Unless, of course, you bought a submarine and go around...
But apparently, as well as that, it's got a competitive online multiplayer, arcade-style gameplay, and exciting gameplay.
You can dodge mines. Well, good luck seeing it when you're in a submarine, douchebag.
Use sonar and intercept transmissions.
Yeah, because of course...
Sneak past enemy ships.
Because of course you're going to be in a submarine with sonar. Oh look, I've just given my position away to every destroyer within 30 kilometers. Whoops.
Previews and or reviews.
Alright, we've got a couple of reviews coming up. Well, one preview.
I have a preview.
Yeah. We're just going to quickly talk about Space Ark. Yep. This is a game for Xbox 360.
Yep.
Where it has weird animals and they bounce around. Yes. Catherine can elaborate more.
Oh, yes, of course I can.
And maybe I will mention how crazy the storyline is.
yeah,
how
you can
it's
do that.
Totally okay. Just mental.
So Space Ark has been developed by Straw Dog Studios, who are up in Derby. Excuse me. So the story is as follows. It's a Space Ark, which is a little spaceship, which is called a Space Ark because it's populated by Arkonauts, who are space-traveling animals that are on an important mission. It's their duty to terraform all the damaged worlds and shattered planets that has happened because of a wandering black hole.
Oh my god, is that the... I didn't know
that's,
about the
yeah,
black hole.
Yeah, it's a wandering black hole.
Oh
that's
my
been passing through the galaxy.
God.
Thing is, though,
oh
this game...
Jesus,
wait,
Lord.
Wait.
Jesus.
This is not aimed at someone like you.
I should hope not, because I'm going to spend the next 2 hours after I finish this giggling to myself about how ridiculous the concept of it is.
So,
I really wish games like this would just take out the story, because games like this don't need a story.
It doesn't need
it's
a story.
It's okay just to have a game.
It could be fine with animals in space.
Exactly. And just don't have any of this crazy science in it, because it irritates people like me. And the other thing that irritates me is no PC version.
No. Arrgh. So, okay... Those that would probably not have guessed what kind of game it is from the story is it's like
it's
Breakout.
Or Super Breakout.
Or Super Breakout.
Or Breakout 5.
Or Arkanoid.
Or
the
Nintendo version. The games on the Breakout clones on the Archimedes or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got a bounce pad for the paddle and your ball is now an animal for this.
Yeah.
Or in other words, an Arkanaut. So for each mission that you start
it's
on
a
planet,
cat.
You get a little animal come out of stasis. And then you get to play as them.
And they bounce around
yeah.
collecting
so
all these things.
So you're collecting
in the air.
Strings of DNA.
Oh, why are strings of DNA
which
floating
are,
in the air?
Like, kind of, are they hexagons?
Yeah, so they're the wrong shape
the little
start,
hexagons.
And they're far too big.
That you've got to pick up. For each three you pick up, you make a chain. Chains make combos. So if you get loads of combos, you get fruit from the combos. If you collect,
that makes sense.
Yes. If you collect fruit, it raises your super meter bar thingy, and because animals like fruit as well, it raises your multiplier for your score. I think that was it. Was that it? Did I miss out anything?
No, it's really confusing how the system works.
So you can pick up single bits of DNA, but they don't give you combos. And the main thing is you want to get combos so you get really, really big numbers for scores and stuff.
Catherine
like
was trying to work this out the other night and she was literally there for half an hour trying to work out
whatever.
How the scoring system works.
No, I wasn't. You're making me
my
sound
brain's
silly.
Already erzing.
You're making me sound silly. But yeah, so
what I do like about it
yeah.
is the animals, because they I really want these to be like you like the ability to make these into your 360 avatars or like your Windows avatars
they're
to use
cute.
For the log on screen, because they like dance with the music and then they spin round.
So, unlike Breakout, because of course with Breakout you hit the blocks and then the blocks disappear and your ball bounces off the blocks. In this, you go straight through the DNA, so like...
And you can control the animal in
yeah,
flight as well.
You control the pad, the bounce pad with the left stick and the animal with the right stick, I think. Or it's the other way
yeah.
around. But I was going to say, it's like Lord Cinderbottom's fireball, which is the dragon in Peggle. And so, you know the fireball, yeah? And it just goes through everything.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like that. So you've got an invincible kind of feeling because you're just bouncing through all this DNA, picking it up. There's not really much in the way of bad things to happen in the game. So it's quite a positive game. So there's no time limit unless they put it in the later levels of the game. I've only played a little bit of it because I had a preview to play. But if you fall on the ground, he loses combos. And I think... Maybe if his super level meter thing goes all the way down, he might die. I'm not sure. I've never actually lost in it. But you can also get like kind of a field, an energy kind of field at the bottom as a power up that then means you can fall on the ground and not die or lose your combos.
Yes.
There's lots and lots of stuff as well, because you can get upgrades for your bounce pad, which are guns, so you can get a cannon on it and a machine gun and stuff. So you can break like really hard blocks, or you can collect the DNA with guns as well, which makes no sense, does it?
Collect now, DNA with a gun? How would you collect DNA with a gun? You just shoot it.
But yeah, so it's really cute. The music's kind of irritating.
It gets a bit repetitive.
But it doesn't get stuck in your head too much.
No. It's out on June 16th.
Yes, June
16th. And it's going to be 800 points.
Yeah, 800 points. So it's not bad because it's not the maximum point thing. And it's a nice puzzle game. I can't remember how many levels there are, but there's quite a few. It's got a multiplayer as well, apparently, but that was greyed out, so I couldn't try it. But I'm definitely picking it up because I could play it for a few hours on end.
And get some gamer score.
Get some gamer score.
Because on the forums, we now have a gamer score leaderboard,
yes,
which I'll mention a bit later. So, Adam, you wanted to quickly talk about Super Street Fighter 4. And by quickly, I mean don't take too long, because I'm getting hot.
Aww. The name of the game is still bugging me. So I have remembered somewhere else where I heard that song from, where I think I'm getting the cards from, it's in the new Dukes of Hazzard movie. But for some strange reason, I'm still thinking...
It's definitely not from a film.
For some reason, I've got Project Gotham Racing 3 stuck in my head. I don't know why.
Oh, well, you'll find out next week.
Bugging the hell out of me. Okay. Super Street Fighter 4. What can I say? It is Street Fighter 4. They've just put Super on the beginning. Update-wise, nothing much. More in the sense of they've added... an alternative choice for ultra combos to be picked. So everybody through the board has a secondary ultra combo, which will either be a completely different move, which will be more close quarters.
What the hell are you jib-jabbing about?
He's talking about combos now.
Yeah. Combo this. In my games, we don't have combos.
This is the ultra combo is a combo meter which gets filled up when you take damage.
Okay.
So your super meter gets filled up when you create damage. When you get hit, some of it does go up. It gets more. I think it goes up more of your blocking. But it's more in the sense of your ultra combo is kind of like if you just kick someone's ass and you're like got them to halfway down and then they just thunder you with this massive combo near enough killing you, your meter will fill up. And if you can pull off the combo and activate it, it's kind of like a cutscene, but you can actually block. So if you're quick enough, you can move out of the way. But if you get caught off guard because you're too busy trying to do a combo yourself, this guy can literally pummel you to the ground. And if you haven't got much health left, it's this ability for you to come back fighting in the last few seconds of the game.
Right. So if you're winning, you have the chance of some douchebag coming along and beating you at the last minute.
Yeah, unless you're clever enough to work out when he may use it, because you've got to pay attention to both ultra bars. Now they're giving you a second ultra bar, so you've got a different maneuver, because some characters, you could only use them at certain points, like if the person was jumping at you or you were jumping, if they were right up against you, if they were further away. So, for example...
Sorry, that was my Liu Kang impression.
talking about Mortal Kombat here, Paul.
Oh, I mean not? Oh, sorry.
For example, with Ryu, he would do the fireball, so you could do it up close, but you could also do it further away from the screen, on the further side of the screen away from your opponent. But his second one is the dragon uppercut, so you have to be right up against your opponent. If you activate it when they're moving away, you won't connect, so it won't activate.
Dragon uppercut, are you sure this isn't Mortal Kombat and Liu Kang?
I'm just doing the translation. I can never remember. I'm getting a mind blank. I'm sure someone will write in and tell me what it is, but I'm having one of those days. Because the dragon punch is Hadouken, and it's Shuriken is the dragon uppercut. And it's the same for Ken. Ken was a Shuriken originally, and now he's got the spinning back kick, which he can activate from across the screen, so he can come at you with this flames coming out of his foot and all kind of graphically, and it looks beautiful, and you have to try and jump out of the way. So they've added that bit in, as well as the fact that the arcade mode has gone back to more like Street Fighter 2, where you had the bonus ones. So you had bonus levels put in twice through the actual arcade, where the first one was beating up a car, and the second one was destroying barrels that were dropping down from above you.
Yeah.
They put that back in, but also if you've gotten used to them not being there, once you've completed the game once through with a character, it gives you the option that when you go to play arcade mode, you can untick a box and they disappear, so you don't have to bother doing them, because they don't add anything other apart from your actual score that you get, the arcade score. On top of that, a large array of characters, some new, including a Turkish wrestler who covers himself in oil.
He's cool. Yeah, I like weird. Hakan.
He is quite cool. I do find that his
weird is the word
combos
you're looking for.
Is very comical with the way that he squeezes you. I found out that he was picked as a character because the developers were told to go off and find the most weirdest types of fighting there are in the world, because they said when they did Street Fighter 4, a lot of the characters that were added into Street Fighter 4 is new, were more serious and less away from some of the funnier characters that they've had previously.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted in Super Street Fighter 4 to bring more of the humorous characters to light, kind of like in the olden days. As well as that, they've shoved in a few Street Fighter Alpha and Street Fighter Turbo characters and Street Fighter 3 characters into the mix. I won't go through them all. A couple of the ninjas are back. The British boxer, I can't remember any of their names. DJ's back. T-Hawk. So it makes the game a little bit more of an upgrade for a lot of older fans, because if you were really good at, say, like T-Hawk, you can have your character back and actually play Street Fighter 4 with these characters. One thing that is quite nice, a lot of people wondered why this was not downloadable content. I think they wanted to really push out a clean-cut set of this game and not have to do a bolt-on. But the great thing about it is if you get rid of your original game but you keep your game saves, they do add on to like whatever rep you've got from how many scores you've got for beating so many people online with Ryu. That moves along with the game, and it also checks all of your trophies when it loads up for the previous game. So if you've played the previous game, this does add on, but you don't necessarily need to keep the old one unless you're a Street Fighter fan. You want to keep it for sentimental value. The only disappointment with this, and it's not a biggie, is that in Street Fighter 4, they had animated cutscenes for the beginning and the end of the arcade mode for each character. And those are all static now. Some of the end ones are animated, and some of the newer ones are animated. But like as I played Ryu, you know, he's just stood there, and there's a voiceover, and it cuts to another one, and then another one. And so there is story there, but it kind of felt like a backpedal. And I was like, what are you doing? If you've got time to be creating new characters, you could at least get someone paid to animate the scene for you, even if it's shorter. I wouldn't have minded shorter, but with it being animated, because I did like those. It kind of gave a feel of where the characters are now in their lives, because a lot of people have a lot of love for these characters because they've been playing as these characters quite a long time. I can't remember when I first started playing Street Fighter. But as the game works, a lot of nice features for online. I can't remember. I think it's Endless Battle is one that I really like, where it is basically an online version of how you play Street Fighter 4 in a proper arcade scenario, especially if you played in Japan, where it is winner stays on. So you go into a lobby between maybe two. I've been in there with two people. I've been in there with six people. And winner stays on. Everyone else just ranks through. And if you want to step aside and say, well, no, you push a button and it knocks you back a bit. So if you're like, no, I'll quite happily sit here and wait a minute. I just want to let my wrist rest. I'll skip this go. And everybody circles through, all taking their shot at the leader. And then as soon as they knock them off the podium, they stay on. And they permanently stay on until the next person knocks them off. And you just keep playing and playing and playing and playing. And it's just like playing in the arcades, instead of it just being more in the sense of, oh, I'll play you and then I'll play you again. And should we play someone else? You know, and you can also have team ups, which I've not had a go at doing yet. But yeah, they've definitely tweaked what you can do with the game. The other thing I was disappointed, and I must admit, the things that disappointed me with this game are really small and niggly, but the manual. The manual actually annoyed
Manuals
me.
Manuals are always cheap nowadays.
The manual for Street Fighter 4 had everything for each character in there. And they
were like
very,
the combos and stuff.
Yeah, everything that was all in there. So all the ultras, the supers, all the maneuvers, the grapples, the lot are in there. And fair enough, they're in the game as well. And you can bring them up on the screen, obviously. But they are nice if you've got a favorite character. You can just I like having it on my lap, and I like glancing back, and I don't have to go through the menu system to remind myself how to do something while I'm learning a new character. They've actually removed them, and they've only got the ultras in there. I think they may have the supers in there. Because they have to show you what the new ultras are for all the characters, and they only have got the maneuvers for the new characters. So if you want to remind yourself how to do reused moves, you'd have to go back to the manual for Street Fighter 4. But if you're playing a character that is new to Super Street Fighter 4, you can use Super Street Fighter 4 manual. I just found that a bit weird. It's like, well, it would have taken you maybe two extra pages and you could have put all this stuff in from the previous manual, because if the game's pretty much the same, which it is, like me, you're going to get rid of Street Fighter 4. You're not going to keep it.
Man, could be worse. The game could be rubbish.
As far as the game's concerned, it hits the nail on the head as it did previously. I have noticed that they've embellished a lot more with the skins, so there's a lot more suits to get. So you still wear Ryu as he is, but you've got a lot more colors, but some of them he actually does look different. So you can get one where his clothing are more ripped. You can get one where he's actually got a beard and he looks like he hasn't shaven in like a month or something.
Yeah, so is it worth picking up?
If you've got Street Fighter 4, for the fact that I picked a copy up for £22, it is worth, if you've got Street Fighter 4, trading it in and trading up to the new one, because the new characters in it, really good. A lot of them I've started playing now, and some of their combos are slightly a bit off from what I'm used to playing. One of them, which is the Korean girl, one of her ultra combos is actually on a timer, and some of them are on timers now where you activate it and you've got an ability to have more strength to beat someone up with, but you've got a time limit to actually do it. So in that point, you can actually go in with some of the standard combos to beat someone up. So the game edge has been changed again, and they've really beefed it up a bit more for the hardcore Street Fighter fan. If you're bored with Street Fighter 4, you got to ask yourself why you're bored with it. If it is because you're just kind of like, yeah, Street Fighter 4, I've had my fix, it might not be the game for you. But if you're kind of like, yes, it's really good, I just need something more, this is worth picking up. Get rid of Street Fighter 4 unless you can afford to buy this game outright and just go get it.
What would you give it out of 5? One, two?
I would have to give it a 4 because I can't find anything.
4, that's so average.
I think for the fact that if they had said, right, here's Super Street Fighter 4 and it's $39.99, and for if I got what I got in the box for £22 in $39.99, it would be getting a 2 because it would have completely missed the market of what it was trying to achieve. But this, they turned around and said, it's going to be cheaper. It is the same game, but with extras, more characters. But we're not going to lie to you. It is Street Fighter 4, but it's the super version. You know, they told us what you're paying for, and what they told me is what I got. So I'm happy with it. There isn't anything wrong. Mechanics-wise, it's really good. To be honest, the only thing I was missing is the bits in the manual and the animation. Bar that, everything else is as crisp as Street Fighter 4 goes. So I must admit, on the side of putting it in the box with beat-em-ups, it's high-end, and it's definitely worth upgrading to Super Street Fighter 4.
Okay, so that pretty much wraps up our reviews for this week.
Yeah.
You can send us feedback as always to feedback@gamercast.net, or you can leave it on the blog at gamercast.net, because you just see the little leave feedback links on there, and you can type a little message, and then maybe, if it's on an episode, we might maybe, just maybe, read it out, because we do get thousands and thousands of comments, so we can't read them all out, unfortunately, but if yours is cool enough and says how awesome we are enough, we may read it out. You can also follow us on Twitter at
twitter.com/gamercast.
And subscribe to us on YouTube.
www.youtube.com/gamercast.dot.net.
Anything else? Or Facebook, Steam groups, blah, blah, blah.
Facebook.
So yeah, this has been our 200th episode.
Woo!
So yeah.
What a walk down memory lane it was.
hang on, this episode was really rubbish. Let's make 201 our 200th episode.
No. Anyway, you said you were going to mention about the port forums and the 360 gamertag integration.
Yeah. Just a quick note for anyone on the forums. We now have Xbox Live integration. So if you could put your gamertag in on your profile, it will show up in the leaderboards, which lists how much gamer score you've got. So people like Gary, who have over 70,000.
Yeah,
might want to register on the forums because
can
then
I see where I am.
You're way down the list.
Aww.
I'm like fourth or fifth.
Mine must be really crap considering I've had two gamer scores.
Oh, yours is crap. I actually filled yours in for you, Adam, so people can see how crap you are. I'm not joking.
No, what it is. I'm
computer.
Mine's low, but I've got reasons. A, I've gone through two gamer tags, and B, I play PlayStation.
I'm eighth.
Yeah. Adam, you're not last. Baxter, Reese Baxter, a.k.a. Falclor, is last with 465 gamer score. Although, I do know someone lower than him, which is Sean.
He's only played Fable 2 and Gears of War, though.
Yeah.
look at all the Red Deads.
So, yeah, you've got the leaderboard on there. Yeah, you know what people are cool because they played Fallout. You know what people are lame because they still play the Orange Box.
Hey, I played Orange Box not long ago. Like, that's me! You call me lame!
You've also played Wallace and Gromit.
Wrong with Wallace and Gromit.
You didn't play it for me to get me gamer score. In addition to that, apart from a boring list where people can say, oh, I got more gamer score than you, it also pulls in your avatar if you want, so you can use it as your avatar on the forum, and it puts a little, you know, my Gamercast card thingamajiggy at the bottom of your signature.
It also says if you've got gold or silver, how many stars you've got, what your gamer zone is. Oh, that's cute. If you hover over the avatar in the leaderboards, you get a little picture of your dude.
Yeah, do you want to see what Baxter looks like? It looks like a little kid.
That's a bit. Watch Tapnik real quick. That's a bit creepy. That had Charlotte eyes. Charlotte.
Yes, anyway, we'll be back next week for show number 201.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Laters.